And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Now, as you would know, we recently did a show from the Letterkenny offices of Cancer Care West. They do absolutely fantastic work for people when they're diagnosed with cancer, as they go through the cancer journey, and also, you know, after they've had their treatment for cancer and offer treatments that are required there. And what have you. And they do fantastic stuff at Cancer Care West in Letterkenny. And also too, obviously, we know Cancer Care West supplies accommodation and what have you down in Galway. It's invaluable. Now, the Donegal Camino is taking place next week. Is it next week, Caroline? The Donegal Camino, it's next week, isn't it? I get confused, by the way, when we get close to the end of the month and into a new month. And it is a walk all over Donegal. Check out donegalcamino.ie. It's a walk, a series of walks all over Donegal to help raise funds for Cancer Care West. Now, we're going to be joining that walk on Monday at Ards Forest Park. Now, listen, I'm not pretending we're going climbing, you know, the 10 peaks or whatever it might be. It's not an endurance test or what have you, but we're doing it to try and raise funds through this program and through this radio station and also to raise awareness of Cancer Care West. Because even during our show, the last time we were there, people called in who weren't even aware that it was there or didn't think it was for them. And it is for them. It's for people of all ages, men, women, whatever. It's a fantastic space. But it would be really nice if you had any spare money to donate through us so we can help present some money to Cancer Care West. And people have been very generous already and we're up over €1,000. And it'd be lovely even to, you know, add another few hundred to that. And we can give you a shout out as well on the day because we'll be linking into this show. We're going to be doing the walk and updating you and it's going to be hopefully have a bit of fun with it. So if you have anything spare, I really would appreciate it if you'd back us and the show here and go to idonate.ie/Greg Hughes and you'll see there there's a page, Donegal Camino, whereby we're taking part in it. And it'd be lovely if we could boost that money up a little bit. I'm not the best person to do this because I've never done it before and I'm really uncomfortable sort of asking. And that's just to be completely honest with you. And Caroline will tell you that as well because I should have been doing much more to sort of promote this. But I haven't, but I'm going to try this week. So if you have anything that you can spare that will go directly to Cancer Care West, please go to the iDonate page, idonate.ie/Greg Hughes. If you want to give us a ring here at the radio station as well, we can do it for you, or you can drop money into the radio station and people have, and we really do appreciate it. As I say, on behalf of us as a family of the 9 till noon show and as listeners, it would be lovely if we could bump that money up a little bit to go directly to Cancer Care West. So as I say, if you have anything, if you enjoy what you want, you do with us, what we do for you here, and you want to sort of join us in donating, please give us a buzz here if you want, and we can process it here for you, 07491 25000, or go to the iDonate page, idonate.ie/Greg Hughes, or check out the socials, my socials, it's there as well. So as I say, it's all for a good cause, and it's all for Cancer Care West. And also check out more generally, donegalcamino.ie. Bank of Ireland crossing Ballymofay is a death trap. I agree. Hi, Greg. Just to make people aware that the road into Maville from Derry at the Bends beside the Lower Pier is treacherous. Last night at around 9:45 p.m, a car travelling into town lost control, spun, hit a curb and overturned. Luckily, nobody was injured on this occasion. On the other side of the town at the Bends on the main road entering Maville, there has been numerous instances over the past few years of vehicles going into a spin. I suspect that it's being caused by recycled tar, as these incidents tend to happen after warm periods followed by heavy rain. I suspect oil is seeping to the surface in the heat and causing a slick effect when it rains. Okay, very much could be that as well. Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, I've read that one out already. Another caller says, you're right about vaping, Greg. Also, what happened about Ronan Mullen's proposal to bar pornographic sites to under 18s? Nothing, it seems, which proves this government is not really interested in doing anything to protect our young people. The problem is the genie's out of the bottle. And these multinationals, some of them are based here, others aren't. And, you know, I think that's why it's, as I say, it is a problem that's going to be difficult to fix, but I think us not doing anything would be a terrible failure as well. All right, Martina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks for joining us. We were chatting to James before 10 about the pedestrian crossing in Bella Buffet there at the bank. Martina, do you share James' concerns or what's your view?
Yeah, I do. I agree with what James said. I was coming through on Saturday morning, about 8:30. It's not that early, but I could see from the Letterkenny side, so I could see all the new signs that James was talking about that went up, and they're kind of a fluorescent edging on them, so you do kind of see them. They are, but as I approached the one that was up at the between the AIB and the Bank of Ireland, it was blocked on the side that you would travel at towards Donegal Town because there was a van. I think 3 or 4 cars are able to park out
yep,
of the AIB,
that's right, yep.
And the social welfare offices. So it was actually blocked on your vision going up. There was one on the other side, but I agree that pedestrian crossing should never have been placed there anyway, because I used to have the children at Jackson's Swimming, and when you would come out in the evening to go down, or as he described it, to get a break, you know, you're right on the pedestrian crossing as you would take the corner, you know, and you are looking at the traffic coming down from the Donegal Town side. Also, as a pedestrian sort of user, you know, if you were going up there in the morning and you needed to use Bank of Ireland, you would, you know, I would park on the AIB side, but run across the street to the bank, use it, and come back. But I would tend to go down probably more so outside Alexander's and cross
for sure.
there because
I
don't feel safe myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't use that pedestrian crossing there. I wouldn't use it. It's too bloody dangerous. Because it is, like, to all intents and purposes, it is like a crossroads, because obviously you have the car park entry, the Navney car park, I believe it is, isn't it? And I've never seen a crossroads with effectively the pedestrian crossing right up next to one of the crosses of the crossroads, if that makes sense. Because as you say, the lorries that come down the Bray from the Donegal Town direction and all that kind of stuff, that has your eye, because you're thinking, you know, I don't want to get cleaned out of it turning left out of Glenfin Road, would you call it locally, would you? So you're turning left and you're right onto that crossing. You're right onto that crossing and potentially to, you know, your piece of the car that goes down supporting the windscreen kind of blocks that corner. Because even the Donegal Road Safety Officer at the time said they weren't safe.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, no, I don't, and I couldn't believe that the signs went up, so they must have went up sometime last week. So they're obviously, as James said, of a permanent nature now, but it should be moved, you know, it should be moved down or removed totally.
Move down. It doesn't have to go down too far either, does it? Where you would naturally cross feeling safe, like the example you gave, Martina, that's what I would do. Because you don't want to contend with a junction. Two lanes of traffic, that's okay to cross. But when you're dealing with traffic coming from four directions or into four directions, I personally would avoid that because I don't believe it's safe, regardless of what signs are in place.
Yeah.
All right, Martina, listen, thank you for your time. Thanks for describing it so well. It doesn't seem to make sense. If you share that view, or particularly if you believe that we're wrong here, let us know. 086 60 25,000. A listener says the crossing at Bella Buffet Bank Corner and in other places in the town are a great idea. The pedestrians need to be educated on how to use them, and that applies mainly to the older generation, as school children are up to date with how to use them properly. The drivers have to remember they are in a vehicle that moves at great speed, and someone using the crossing will only delay them by seconds. Drivers are always going through the town too fast, and the majority are unaware of their surroundings. There are too many people who don't use the crossings, and they put themselves in danger. Slow down, drivers. But just in relation to that one at that corner, say you're heading towards Donegal Town, there's a yellow box that you can't go onto, and then there's a small space and then another yellow box. Now, if you're trying to turn right there, there's an awful lot going on. Or if you're having someone that's crossing from the Glenfin Road into the car park, there's a myriad of things that can happen. And I just don't see how that can be coordinated through education to make it safe. And that's just my opinion. Right, we're going to be joined very shortly by Rosa Glacken, who's conference president and St. Vincent de Paul media representative. We're going to be talking about the challenges of getting our young ones back to school. It's a big headache for some people, but also there is an event coming up in the Clannery on Saturday the 19th of October, which we also want to highlight. That's coming up for you very, very sure. very, very soon. The banging noise in Bunkrana has definitely not ended. I was out walking after 5 a.m. this morning. It's not as frequent, but it's still there. The noise doesn't bother me, but it's still there. All right, that was something that was discussed on the show last week, I believe, the banging in Bunkrana. But it hasn't been resolved, according to some. If you've any views on that, you know the numbers. Now, as I mentioned, Rosa Glacken is with us now. Rosa, Conference President and St. Vincent de Paul Media Rep. Good morning to you, Rosa.
Morning, Greg, and morning to your listeners.
Listen, it's a joyous day and joyous week for many, with young ones going to school. As I said, indeed, there's milestones there, you know, whether it's going to Nenra for the first time or going into, you know, into first class or going into the tech. And we don't want to take away from that too, because I think sometimes when people think that we, you know, we have to highlight the plight of what other people are going through or the situation others find themselves in, that it in any ways is taken away from what might be a lovely experience for them, but it's really not. And I hope people can make that differentiation. Mm-hmm. So Rosa, what has the contact been like in the last wee while as we head to the return to school or going to school for the first times with your organisation?
Well, it's normally, as you know, our second busiest time of the year after Christmas, and there would be huge number of calls in. Not so much this year, I'm glad to say, because the uniform allowance has made a huge difference, and that was paid out, I think it was in July, so people were able to spread it out and prepare for this week. And also the free book scheme, that was massive. Because,
right, so in fairness then, because these were government initiatives and they're not going to fix all the problems.
No.
But anecdotally, from a St. Vincent de Paul perspective, you've concluded that they've made a difference, which means there's not quite as many, a huge difference, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's not as many calls this year as there have been in previous years. So that's to be welcomed, isn't it,
Absolutely,
Rosa? And credit where it's due.
That was something, the free books we campaigned for years. Yeah. So I'm really, really pleased about that because, as you know, the books have become very, very expensive. What I would like to say, Greg, is this. There's a cohort of people who are not you know, in line for those allowances. Yeah. They are for the books, obviously, but the back to school allowance, these are people who are working on a very tight budget and they don't get that or any of the other grants available and so on. And because they're working, my thinking is they feel, oh, we shouldn't be contacting the society. Mm-hmm. But they're the very, very people we want to reach out to. And I would plead with them today, especially those who have students who will shortly be going to third level. And we all know the cost of that. And, for instance, registration alone is 3,000.
Yeah. So what can St. Vincent de Paul do to help in that situation? To help, I suppose, they've been called the squeezed middle, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, they are working.
Yes.
But between rent or mortgage or whatever, they are literally just keeping their head above water.
Yes.
So what kind of help can St. Vincent de Paul give to parents and guardians in that situation?
We have an education fund and we have a committee working, you know, around the county and people approach us, but they're not, you know, aware of it maybe or feel they shouldn't approach us. But we do, as you say, give support for a student heading off, you know, financial support and assistance to the family, you know, depending on what the situation is. And we have helped many students because, as you know, education is the way forward and most important, and we're passionate about it. So we'll be very anxious for those people to reach out to us. Mm-hmm. They may be working, but, you know, that we would be very sympathetic.
Right, so if there are people listening and, you know, the joy of maybe the young person maximising their ability and there are options to go to third level, but they actually can't see how they can make the numbers work. Mm-hmm. St. Vincent de Paul can help. They'll go through presumably the numbers with them. But if there's a genuine case there, there is an education fund that actually could be the difference, Rosa, between maybe that student going on to third level or not.
Yes, and we've had students that we have helped who came back to us and said it made the difference.
Wow.
It allowed them to go to third level and achieve their dreams and they're in employment, which is the whole goal, and they've become independent and come back to us and say thanks, they do.
And probably end up becoming donators
when
they have the resources to
do
so. And the key message here as well, that this appeal is for you if you know, a single or double mm-hmm. income family and mm-hmm. you're struggling to make ends meet,
yep.
contact St. Vincent de Paul and maybe they might be able to help.
Absolutely. And to remind people, it's confidential. We'll treat you with respect. We'll listen to you and we'll do our utmost to help.
Okay. Also this morning, is there a sale on? Where's that and what's happening there?
It's actually a fashion show, but it's not till the 19th of October.
I thought
October.
Monday the 26th there's a sale with all kids' clothes and shoes.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. Yep. I'd forgotten about that well. Yeah, we do that. The shops do that on a regular basis.
Brilliant.
And they had school uniforms, which in fact they gave out at very little cost.
50
and they
were cents, some of the stuff's going for.
Yeah. And they were great help to people who, you know, came in.
And the young ones grow at such a rate as well.
Yeah.
You could be running back and forward to shops.
Indeed.
And for some, they simply mm-hmm. don't have the money or they don't mm-hmm. have the family structure for hand-me-downs.
That's
which,
for sure.
So there are general kids' clothes available and shoes, which is a biggie. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're
the
available
shoes are,
in the... Oh, they are bloody expensive. But they're for sale at the moment across the St. Vincent de Paul shops.
Indeed.
Okay,
yeah,
brilliant stuff. So get in there. And even if it's just, and I know I keep saying this, but I think it's important because I want to catch everyone, even if it's just to recycle stuff, if it's mm-hmm, to, mm-hmm. you know, for a green motivation, get in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now the charity fashion show at the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny, this is going to be fun. It's on Saturday the 19th of October.
That's
Talk to
right.
me about that.
Yes, we had one last year, huge success. So they're looking forward to this one as well. It's compared by Noel Cunningham and Gabriel McMonagall. It's clothes from our shops and they're modelled by our volunteers and it's a great night all around. There's music, there's dance, finger food. Chris Duddy is hosting a disco and a lot of our local businesses and organisations sponsor it and it brings in huge revenue. And again, the revenue, as you know, goes back to support what we've just been talking about, education and other things. So the tickets are €25. They're on sale now. And some organisations buy a table and entertain their staff and so on. But it's a great night and I would encourage anybody. It's a fun night. And it's
well, you've got Noel and Gabrielle
yes,
presenting it.
Yes, you're guaranteed fun.
You're guaranteed fun.
Yes.
There's karaoke, a food buffet, a raffle, and loads of other stuff. Singing,
yes.
dancing,
yes.
and jiving as well. So it's a full all night out. It's not just
night.
The fashion
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
And I think, too, what it highlights is the quality and style of clothing that is available
exactly.
in
yes.
Charity shops. I think... there's still maybe a little bit of work to do that people realise that this is good quality, good
indeed,
stuff. And also,
indeed.
To you know, it's good for the environment to do
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed.
So these fashion shows push that home
yes,
too, don't they?
Uh-huh. And some of the clothing coming in, I mean, the manager, Olga and Stacey and Charlene and the other in Lower Main Street, they're amazed at the quality of it. I mean, people donate stuff maybe they wore once for a wedding and mm-hmm. so on. And these things are snapped up. They're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Very, very good quality. And as you say, we can recycle stuff that mightn't be, you know, saleable and we get our income from that.
Brilliant. I mean, listen, there's a rule, I can't remember what it is, about, you know, what we have in our closets or our cupboards mm-hmm. or what have you. And if you haven't worn it, you know, in 3 months.
That's for sure.
You know what I mean? It's probably never going on again. So I presume donations of money to support the great work that you do, but also donations of good quality mm-hmm. clothing,
yes.
particularly
yeah.
very, very useful as well.
Oh, yeah.
To Rosa.
Our shops are really, really important to us. They're bringing in very good income because, you know, our costs are going up all the time, you know, with the population and the demand that's out there.
Yeah.
And we're anxious to help as much as we can.
Right, so a couple of things to recap. Clanry Hotel, Letterkenny, Saturday the 19th of October from 7 p.m. The fashion show hosted by the compere, Noel Cunningham, with Gabrielle McMonagall. She'll have the camera down and mm-hmm. be using the mic. There's going to be great crack, music, karaoke, raffles, dancing and fashion as well. Get your tickets available now at St. Vincent or St. Vincent de Paul charity shops in Letterkenny. And also, too, just if you are struggling with your young ones, getting them back to school or onto college. And as Rosa pointed out from the very beginning, this could be the squeeze middle. You could be both be earning. But with the way rents and everything is going now, it's just you can't stretch that money as far as it needs to go. Get in contact with St. Vincent de Paul and see what they can do to help. And there's zero shame in that. Rosa, how do people get in contact? I suppose, firstly, in terms of donations, because someone might have a few quid and wants to help someone else out, but also, too, in terms of maybe reaching out to see if any assistance can be
gotten. Most people nowadays go through our website, mm-hmm. And they can click then on Northwest, and it will be referred back to us. So anybody dealing with that particular area will get in touch as soon as possible. They may know the local number, and they can contact us through that, or they can contact us through the shops. They will give phone numbers and contact details if they wish.
And just finally, you know, thankfully, and as I say, credit where it's due. We there's plenty of criticism, but we give credit to, thanks to a couple of government initiatives, there's mm-hmm. been less calls, a huge drop in calls, Rosa mm-hmm. said, this year, as it relates to some of the costs of getting back to school. So mm-hmm. I applaud the government for that. But generally speaking, what is the landscape like? Not actual numbers, just from your own feelings, Rosa, in terms of, you know, demand on services and where you are seeing sort of the peaks in that
the
demand.
The peaks are really, Greg, to do with the increased rent, the increased cost of living, and something I always mention, people having to travel a distance for medical treatment, especially in Donegal, where we have a very poor infrastructure. So you have people going to, families going to Dublin or Galway. Now, you mentioned cancer care, and they're absolutely wonderful, and I applaud you for supporting that. But, you know, there are families and they may have to travel with a loved one and stay overnight. The costs of that are phenomenal. So, you know, there are so many other issues as well regarding the cost of living.
Yeah, it is. It's mm-hmm. crazy, isn't it? And you know, there's a lot of people doing well, but the gap between those that are comfortable mm-hmm. and those that are struggling is widened. And I think as that gap widens, there's a lot of people that are in denial that there are an awful lot of our listeners and our family and friends that mm-hmm. are struggling on a daily.
Yes.
Rosa, listen, keep up the fantastic work as always. Do you enjoy your work?
I love it.
Yeah, you do. Okay,
I do indeed. I get great satisfaction out of it.
And helping people, of course. Yeah, and you do fantastic in it. And in terms of getting the message out there as well.
Yes.
Rosa Glacken, Conference President and St. Vincent de Paul Media Rep. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right. Terrible water situation in Ireland's and the Clochglass area. For those of you who are watching, we got sent in an email or a WhatsApp, sorry, of water. I thought it was a lovely cup of coffee or something, but it's actually the tap water. It is absolutely mank. So there is obviously some issues for some in the Ireland's Clochglass area. That water looks absolutely disgusting. As I've said on the show prior to being off last week, there is a serious issue affecting an awful lot of people of the threat of homelessness. People who've never been in that situation before, that were ordinarily sort of, you know, seemingly secure in their rental accommodation or whatever it might be. But it seems for a number of reasons that landlords are either getting out of the market, moving family into a property. Some, it's because of defective concrete. And for others, it's just because they want more cash. And it's putting a great deal of people under pressure and facing homelessness when they weren't facing that at all. A case in point is Michaela, who joins us now on the programme. Michaela, thanks for your time. And I'm sorry for everything you're going through. It's so bloody stressful for you, I'm sure.
Oh, it is. But, you know, like, it's going to sort itself out at some stage.
Fingers
I'm just
crossed,
kind of holding on to hope.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, you have a 3-year-old and I know myself that there's enough to be at with that. Right, so your situation at the moment, the accommodation you're in, have you been in it long, Michaela?
We've been here 3.5 years now, just before I had...
Okay, so all your daughter's life has been in that house. But the landlord contacted you and sort of pick up the story from there, Michaela, please.
So it was the start of June and I got the notice letter, the eviction notice, that his son was coming home from his travels and that we needed to be out for the 1st of September. And just since then, I've been in contact with the council, local councillors, like anyone really that I thought could help. And I'm not really getting anywhere further forward. The council have told me that because we've got a roof over our head until the 1st of September, that they can't help us. And when that time comes, we just have to present as homeless and then they can reassess our situation. But, you know,
I just want to recap that, Michaela. You've contacted Donegal County Council and local representatives. You've got a letter in your hand that's pointing to you being homeless from the 1st of September. So you're giving them plenty of notice to work with you, as much as you got, sorry, should I say.
Yeah,
and you've been told
that
they can't really look at your case until you're actually homeless.
That's exactly that,
And the reality is from the 1st of September, just around a week from now, you and your daughter are effectively going to join that statistic, and it's not statistic, it's people, of being homeless.
Yeah, it's horrible. Honestly, it feels like I'm nearly failing as a mother, even though it's
not my fault. No, it's not, of course, Michaela. But do you know what?
Horrible.
I've talked to three people online and probably a dozen offline, Michaela, and they all they all talk of that emotion that in some way they feel they're failing their children. But we all know you're not. But I understand exactly where you're coming from. So how is it making you? How's it making you feel? It must be difficult to sleep. You must be racked with worry, Michaela.
I'm trying to put it to the back of my mind as much as possible, but it's hard, you know, it's constant anxiety and shaking with worry all the time because I can't get nothing. I've applied for private rented houses, and even if we did get it, we'd have to live on air, but no one's accepting us because we're on HAP.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way?
And, you know, especially when you're independent, you've got your own wee family and all, you don't necessarily want to start having to rely, if you're lucky enough to have them, on friends and family here. You know what I mean? You've made that step out. You know, no one should have to go backwards like that, I don't think.
No, exactly. And I don't exactly want to sleep on a sofa with just me and my three-year-old either.
Yeah.
And it's hard to depend on other people. It's hard to ask for help, you know.
I get you, Michaela. But listen, I know you've posted it on social media, so you might not mind saying it now. You're in the Letterkenny Manor area, and it's a long shot, and we appreciate that. But you've asked out there if there's anywhere available in those areas to rent, and preferably, presumably, obviously, Michaela, that they'd accept HAP. You'd be very, very, very grateful. And you've had trouble-free years with your current landlord, so you'd make the perfect tenants, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. It's crazy, isn't it, Michaela, that did you ever think, you know, I think sometimes we read, you know, what's in newspapers, well, less so now, but, you know, we watch TV packages or listen on the radio and the talk about homelessness. We don't really think sometimes how easily that can be us. It just takes one letter or one job loss and next thing, you know, where are those people?
For sure. I was one of those people, I still am, when the Ukrainians came over and people were, mad about them getting houses, they're still people, they're still human, everyone deserves a place to live.
Mm.
And now that that's knocking on my door, not that I'm holding any ill emotions towards them, but it's the government and the people in power that's doing this to the Irish people, you know?
I get exactly what you're saying. I mean, you've told the local authority for a fact you're going to be homeless on September 1st. I think it's not unreasonable, and it's not anti-anything, for you to sort of at least expect the same terms of treatment in terms of emergency accommodation. I don't think there's any... I think that's a very normal human emotion, Michaela, and I don't see anything personally wrong in that. It's not anti-anything. It's saying, right, okay, now I'm the desperate one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Right, Michaela, listen, Letterkenny Manor areas for Michaela and her three-year-old daughter. They're going to be homeless from the 1st of September. If there's any suitable accommodation and you accept HAP, please get in touch with us and we'll pass it on to Michaela. And I hope you get the situation resolved, Michaela. I can tell that you have an optimistic attitude and you believe you will. And I just hope that that's exactly how it comes to pass.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Okay, Michaela, look after yourself and love to your daughter as well. Okay. As I say, we've had three or four people in that situation on air. I've spoken to well over 10 off air who it doesn't sort of suit them to talk about it. They're absolutely bricking it because they don't know what they're going to do. Michael McClafferty, Glenty's councillors have been trying for years to arrange crossings in Fulcarra Town, Dunfanaghy Town and Lochinvar. However, the TIA won't allow it because it's not in line with national policy. It's not that councillors are ignoring the problem, but are being met with challenges. But I've seen press releases from councillors welcoming the new signage on these crossings in Ballybuffet. So there you go. Yes, Michael, I get you. You can have the one in Ballybuffet if you want it. Hi, Greg. Another year has passed and the children that get off the school buses at the crossroads above Manor Motors on the main Letterkenny Derry Road, not a light there when they have to cross the road, and cars turning left or right are sitting there hoping nobody will clean them out of it. We'll be too late when someone's going to lose their life, God forbid, but I take exactly what you're saying. Cycle lane from Letterkenny to Kilmac Crennan, but cyclists don't use it. They prefer to hold traffic up using the road. See, this is the problem. I get exactly where you're coming from. Question, do the people who design our roads, crossings, footpaths, etc. actually drive? Look at the approach roads into Letterkenny. They're designed havoc. It's time the designers we have be put to work on the roads and the road users, drivers and pedestrians put into the planning of our infrastructure. I hear you. Okay, I get you. I'm joined in studio by Tumi Kaonwi, who is a finalist representing South Africa for Mrs. Africa UK and Ireland 2024. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well, thank you.
And we have the sash on and everything.
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, very good. You live in Ireland?
Yes, I live in Ireland.
So whereabouts?
I live here in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how did you come to be a finalist in this competition?
Well, for me to be a finalist, Drake, I saw one of the contestants last year who was a finalist, and I actually happened to ask her, what is this all about, you know? And then as she explained to me, and I was like, wow, this is a kind of pageant I could go into, you know? So it actually encouraged me, you know? Sometimes you just listen to other people and then you see that there is something that you can do out of it. You know?
So I'm clear then, the competition is based in the UK and Ireland.
Yes.
And the winner becomes South Africa for Mrs. Africa UK and Ireland.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
And this competition, obviously, you know, you're a very beautiful woman, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
But this is more than that, isn't it? It's about celebrating women in from the beauty inside as well as outside.
Yes, it's actually based on women empowerment. Like the competition is actually they based on empowering all women all over Africa, you know, that it doesn't matter what size you are, how you look, you know, as long as you can go there and showcase yourself, you know, it's all about women empowerment.
Yeah, and of course, too, it's about getting a message across, isn't it? Be it your own personal message or what have
true.
You, because we're now having this conversation
yes.
across the Northwest.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So what's important to you, to me?
What's important to me, Drake, honestly speaking, I would want to see myself getting that crown
mm-hmm.
and bringing it back to Ireland, because I'm the only finalist in Ireland, and also, and I would want people to learn from me that, you know, anything is possible. It's not, it doesn't matter what age you are, where you are, anything is possible.
Yeah, and also too, is this competition for specifically over 30s?
Yes, specifically for over 30s. Yes.
Okay, I'm waiting for a competition that I can fit into now. At this bald, <Yeah. laughs> middle-aged spread.
I think you can win that competition.
All right, very good. Now, the competition is in Manchester. So not only are you representing Letterkenny in the Northwest, effectively you're representing Ireland in this competition.
Yes, I'm definitely representing the whole of Ireland and the whole of Letterkenny, and I'm very proud to be the representative of my county, Donegal, you know. So
am I right in saying that you your background is as an actress?
Yes, I am an actress.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Okay, I've been an actress for the past 4 years now,
mm-hmm.
and my journey in acting, it's been on and off, but then...
That's the life of an actor, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's the life of an actor, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but recently we had a movie called Aisha. I think I came on radio mm-hmm. talking about it, and it went very well. It's going very well, but at the moment I've put it on hold due to the... Some family matters,
life stuff,
you know.
Yeah, life stuff.
Yeah.
I get you.
So I've just put it in hold, yeah.
And also you're using your platform to talk about or to advocate for and get the message across about the many, many underprivileged children living in Africa.
In Africa,
I think really,
yes.
you know, sometimes, I think sometimes you have to see things with your own eyes.
True.
And you have to see the sights, the sounds, the smells, the heat, the senses, you know.
Yeah.
I speak to people, in fact, we're going to be chatting to Brendan Devaney a little later on mm-hmm. about sport. He was over in Africa with a charity and has always supported that charity and has done fantastic things for it. But it's different when you go over and see the people that you're helping.
True.
Because it seems unreal.
Yeah.
I think to most of us, or else we choose to view it as it's not real.
Yes.
So you want to use your platform to say, I'm afraid it is real.
Yes. I definitely want to use my platform because, Drake, in Africa, I'm an African myself. I know what is going on out there. I know what the children out there, they are going. Some children, they go to school. They wake up in the morning, they don't have breakfast. Some of them, they don't even have shoes. They don't have, you know.
So
access to clean water, come to think about it. So those are the things that I want to get to people, across people, so that people must know that, you know what, there is a need in Africa. And then also we have opened the GoFundMe for helping children that are starting school mm-hmm. now in September in mm-hmm. Africa. So it's under Humanity for Sisters. We have opened the GoFundMe so that people can donate and see that we are doing it for all those children in Africa.
Yeah, and you're a mother yourself.
Yes, I am.
And your children are able to enjoy a much better life as well. I mean, they were almost saved from that. I don't know what the right phraseology is, but you're able to give them a much better life. And, you know, there's an awful lot of conversation too about, you know, asylum seekers and people coming to Ireland or Britain or wherever they might mm-hmm. go. You know, an awful lot of people, if they don't necessarily want to leave their homeland, but they're forced to do so.
Exactly.
So if people were supported in terms of infrastructure, clean water, you know, educating people to feed themselves, mm-hmm. intervene to end civil wars where that is an issue, mm-hmm. You know, people would be able to, if they choose to, have comfortable lives where they were born.
True, true. And come to think about it, Drake, I'm from the asylum system myself.
Yeah.
You know, and for us to come here, it's not like we really are forced to come here. We want to, and all those circumstances pushes us to become asylum seekers mm-hmm. and come here. So I'm no longer in the asylum system, but then it's in me that I would assist even people that are still in asylum system. I will still assist people in Africa, children in Africa as well, because I have to give back what I got, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
How long were you in the asylum system for?
I was in the asylum system for about 3 to 4 years.
Were you actually in a direct provision?
I was in the direct provision, yes.
In Letterkenny?
In Letterkenny.
What was that experience like?
Outside Letterkenny and inside in Letterkenny as well.
Yeah, and what were you? Did you have your children at that time?
I had my children at that time. I had my children. I came with my two kids, and then I gave birth to one of the children here in the asylum system during COVID, and it was tough.
Yeah. Okay. So you have an understanding.
I have an insight. A very big understanding of asylum seeking.
So, in relation to that, you know, how do you support, or how do you see you supporting those in direct provision or in the or asylum seekers in Ireland? Like, how can you help, or is it a raising awareness?
Well, I'm actually at the moment I'm running a project of raising awareness mm-hmm. of people knowing a lot about asylum seekers. And asylum seekers is not about giving charity clothes, like, come, maybe you need clothes, you need food or some of them, they just need a listening ear, somebody to just tell them that it is gonna be okay, everything will be fine. Talk to them, engage with them, just get to know them. They all have their different kind of stories. They all have their emotions going on. So it's not easy for them. Sometimes they just need somebody to say, don't worry, it will be fine.
Yeah, okay, exactly. And, you know, sometimes that's what we all need to hear.
Yes, exactly.
So Manchester, September 14th.
Yes, Manchester.
Do you have to walk up and down a catwalk? Or
yes.
Have you picked your outfit?
Well, I haven't picked my outfit yet. I'm looking for sponsors out there that are willing to sponsor me with outfit.
And considering you're going to be walking in public.
Exactly.
How high a heel are you going to risk?
Looking at my
2-inch max.
Looking at my length, I'm very tall. I'm like
That's right. You don't want to tower over the judges. They might
exactly.
feel intimidated. Okay. Right,
I don't want to intimidate the judges, but all I can say is that I'm looking at a nice quarter heel that will be able to let me catwalk.
Oh,
you know,
seeing ones go on the ankles catwalking. No, not that
it's so, not an easy thing.
I've never experienced it, but I can imagine. So there is an element of fashion, obviously, and a small interview or a short interview or whatever it might be. And
yes.
then the winner is announced. So, okay.
Yes.
To me, if anyone wants to hear more about you, maybe support your GoFundMe, or maybe even if they want to work with you in terms of the fashion side of things, how can they get in contact with you? We'll pass any information on to you that we receive, but do you have a Facebook page? Or?
Oh, yes. I do have an Instagram page. It's Queen_T and I have a Facebook page written Kidumetse Tumi Queen. So and also I think those are the
brilliant.
Those.
Okay, well,
and
share.
I also have a YouTube page,
okay.
A new YouTube page which is Tumi 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
And what's on that?
Pardon?
What's on your YouTube page?
I just started a
just
new
getting
page.
It started.
Yes,
okay,
I'm just started page.
All right, listen. Been lovely having you in. The best of luck, you know, representing Letterkenny, representing Donegal, Ireland, representing yourself.
Yes.
At the Mrs. Africa UK and Ireland 2024. The finals, Manchester, September 14th. Tumi Kawumi, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so
it's
much.
Been lovely Dave. Speaking to you.